This episode of the Press Road Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of Out of the Park Baseball 19, coming to you on March 22nd, 2018. You can pre-order it today and save 10%. Out of the Park Baseball 19 is going to be the best Out of the Park Baseball ever, and that is saying something. It's got some really fun new visual enhancements, 3D motion animated players running around the field, hitting, fielding, pitching. So much fun. It's got beautiful new 3D stadiums, daytime, nighttime effects. It's got upgraded ultra-realistic AI, completely redesigned in-game interface, new scouting systems, and of course, the opening day rosters for 2018. Out of the Park Baseball 19, we are so excited about it. You can get it on March 22nd, but if you pre-order it now, you'll get it 3 days early and you'll save 10%. Just go to ootpdevelopments.com and pre-order it today. Out of the Park Baseball 19 coming March 22nd. Thank you, everybody. Enjoy the show.
All right, welcome back to another Press Row podcast. I'm Brian Weedeye, Pasta Padre. Back with me again after a one-week hiatus. We may call it a suspension, we may not. It's Rich Grisham. You're back. How you doing, man?
I'm back. I'm doing great, Brian. Great episode last week. A real treat as a fan of everyone on the show and a fan of baseball video games. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we missed you last week, even though I took a shot at you at the end.
Which is fine. I heard that. I listened all the way through.
Yeah, no, that was a fun episode. You know, I thought we got to hit on a topic that a lot of people showed interest in on social media. We got a lot of responses to our picks. We got a lot of suggestions going into the show. And of course, the episode was centered on the best features ever in the history of baseball video games. And we had a really great panel. We all put together our top fives. Everybody had different criteria. And, you know, it came out with some interesting results. So that was a lot of fun. I think we're going to do some more of those type of things coming up and mix up the themes of some episodes and just play with it. And it's just baseball, you know, it's all about baseball right now. Well, so that was perfect timing for that.
And I wanted to at least contribute one more item to larger list.
Yeah.
And that is, and you know, you guys sort of competed at the end to go who could go farthest back. Well, as the oldest member of this motley crew of people, I go back to, and it's going to sound crazy, but for those of us who were there, it's totally not, is the leap from the original baseball games on the Atari 2600, which for many people, myself included, were the first baseball video game we ever played. Mm-hmm. When I don't know if you ever saw, I doubt you were, you're old enough to have ever played the 2600, but I don't know if you ever saw it, but the original Atari baseball, the outfielders all moved at the same time, right? Whatever direction you pushed, right, uh-huh. When the ball was hit, they all moved, right? If you pushed left, all of them moved left. If you pushed right, they all moved right. It was weird. It was strange. And also, there was no shadow for the ball, so you didn't know whether a ball was a grounder or a fly ball. You had to wait until after the play, you know, was over in one way or the other, whether it was a home run or whether you just ran over the ball and picked it up. It's when the next baseball game that I played on the 2600, I believe, was an Activision baseball game, and that game was completely different. You know, there was a shadow for the ball. You know, it played like a baseball game of that, you know, like it played like much more like a real baseball game. That leap from the original terrible baseball game to the first one where you're like, oh, wait, this looks like baseball. And you know, each player was individually controlled and there was a shadow on the ball, stuff like that. Like just seeing that evolve that quickly, that leap was big for me because I wanted to like the original baseball game, but I couldn't because it was terrible.
What was the time period? What year do you think that might have been?
Well, I played it in the mid-80s. Like, I'm sure they were not new. I mean, when I originally played the Atari baseball, it was new, but it wasn't mine. It was at a friend's. His dad was a doctor. Like, having a video game system back then in the you know, early to mid 80s was an expensive proposition, as it is now as well. And I didn't have one, but he did. And I got the Activision Baseball probably 2 years later, maybe three, you know. It was a different world back then, you know.
Yeah, I was trying, as you were talking, I was trying to think back to what was the first baseball video game I played. The first console I remember having was the ColecoVision.
Sure.
And I'm looking this up now, and there's a game called Super Action Baseball. I have no recollection of whether I played this or not, but I wonder if that was something I played back then. I don't know, 1983, it looks like.
And by the way, the television, which was out at the same time as the Atari 2600, and I think TJ mentioned it, I believe he did last week, it was an officially licensed Major League Baseball game. But I didn't have the Intellivision. That was, I mean, if the 2600 was a bridge too far, you know, Intellivision for my family back then was five bridges too far. Like that was, and of course you saw the commercials on TV, George Plimpton bragging about, oh, Atari's got, you know, little stupid guys running around. We've got Major League Baseball and NFL football and NHL. It killed me because not only could I not play it because I couldn't get it, but like I didn't even know anyone who had the Intellivision. One buddy had the Atari, that was it. So that was brutal.
I wish I had better memory of those days. I can't remember much of it. Like my first things I remember going back then were like the double dribbles and like Nintendo game, but like Nintendo games also where you had to call in to the Nintendo hotline.
Right.
And my mom let me do it, even though it cost money, like a lot of money to call in and say, I'm stuck on Zelda or whatever. I need hints.
Right.
That's what I remember about gaming in the '80s and the power glove and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't remember what was the pad called that you.
No idea. Never had any of that stuff. Like I got a 2600 after the crash, right? I know that. I don't know what year it was. Probably 84, maybe 85. Well after the crash, and then I didn't have another system of my own until I got an NES many years after it came out. I never had a Super Nintendo. Either, not of my own. I have the SNES Classic now, which is great. But, you know, it's funny, you know, the next big leap, like I talked about the first big leap, going from something that wasn't baseball, that was weird and strange, to something at least resembled it. The next big leap for me was in the very late 80s, and maybe even, no, it was actually early 90s. Sorry, it was like 90, 91, 92, was playing RBI baseball on the NES, because that was legit baseball. Like that did blow me away. And I would play against my friends as often as I could. And the games were ridiculous and unbelievable and different. Yeah. RBI baseball was an absolute obsession for me and my friends when it was the rage.
I think RBI, if I remember right, RBI was the first one with the MLBPA.
Could have been. I mean, the one that sticks out to me more than anything is RBI 93. Like that's one that I know that I played a lot. But because there was a buddy of mine, a couple of buddies of mine, we played RBI 93 a crazy amount. But there was also like, I think it was before it was numbered, there was an RBI, and then there was like probably a 92 or 93. You know, that two or three game set. We just played a ton of on NESs all the time. It was so good. And every year those games took major leaps as well. Major leaps. Baseball, those games were a lot of fun. Anybody could play them. Anybody could play them.
Unlike today.
Yeah, it is true. I mean, I love the show. And we're going to talk, I think, a little bit more about the show in this show. But it is tough. It is tough. You guys had some good conversations about it last week, and I want to talk about that a little bit more, too, as we get into things.
Yeah, well, is that where you want to go to first? You want to talk?
Yeah,
you got something
talk
else?
About that. So the show, I'm obviously going to buy it. I can't pre-order it though, Brian, on Amazon. What's up with that?
No, they won't. They won't allow you. Actually,
why not?
If you remember, there are only select retailers, first of all, where you can get the show early. What are they doing? A 4-day early thing? And originally it was only GameStop. I think it's now GameStop, Best Buy, Walmart, and like PlayStation Store.
Okay.
If you pre-order with them, you get it the 4 days early. Yeah. If you remember, was it the show last year? It was the first game really that Amazon didn't have for sale pre-release, I think. And then we got a wave of other sports games on there as like the publishers, I think, are trying to.
Very frustrating. Very frustrating. As a Amazon customer and a baseball customer, I want to get on Amazon with my, you know, Prime Day One delivery discount. Now, that means I'm very likely going to go digital because I'm going to be getting a PS4 Pro in the not too distant future, because in a week and a half, I'm going to be hanging up a new television on my office wall.
It's finally happening.
So, yeah, my buddy who knows how to do this stuff is coming over on a Saturday, and I'm going to hang up two televisions, the one that I have in here and the brand new one. And it's going to be interesting, but he totally knows what he's doing, so I'm not concerned about it. I'll just stand here and pretty much watch him. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of that. So I'm getting the PS4 Pro, which even makes me more excited, because you know, I got to get the Pro to take advantage of the 4K TV. It makes me even more excited about the show. But listen, last week I heard Mills mention that there has been some talk about a significant change to the hitting engine or whatever. And, you know, as we've talked about, I was pretty good. Not pretty good. I was the best I've ever been hitting an MLB The Show back in 2015 and 16, 17 last year. I was terrible again. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was me. Well, clearly it's me. I didn't adapt to whatever, but I don't know if things changed or I just lost a step. I don't know. So I'm very interested to get my hands on hitting. Can I get back to, you know, if I'm smart and work the count and time things right, you know, have success? Because last year I didn't have a lot of that. It was very frustrating. And I played less of the show last year than I have in years past.
Yeah. Well, there were certainly some issues with the hitting and the timing and the zone, essentially, that was giving you contact and what type of contact. And so that hopefully they've cleaned up. And then, of course, they had the alpha, which I'm sure they took general feedback on hitting from. If I remember right, I saw some chatter about them having to make it easier because it was super difficult in the alpha. So I would imagine that they're tweaking it that direction. They have to make it a little more friendly. But you know, we'll see. We don't really have an idea how it's going to play out. And I think sometimes they don't either until you start to get the data in as people start to play it.
Right.
And then you can adjust from there, say, oh, everybody's striking out too much, or everybody is, you know, they're getting too many base hits, not enough doubles. You know, it's going to take a lot of data to really figure that out. And I know they're researching that before release also, but when the masses come in, that's a totally different story.
It's got to be a real challenge. And where I really struggled last year for the first time was no matter what difficulty, right? It almost didn't make a difference. At one point, and I'm talking a couple of months into the year, or a couple of months after it had come out, I got into a streak where I just could not hit anything. It was terrible. And I even adjusted it down to like, you know, rookie for a few games to even try it. And even that just wasn't
working. Don't. Yeah, rookie is the worst thing you can do.
I mean, I just couldn't. It's not easier. It did not matter. I couldn't.
Yeah.
I was losing it. And that's when I stopped playing it because, you know, I've been thinking. You know, again, last week's episode just got me thinking a lot because I listen to it while I'm driving. And then, you know, you do a lot of thinking about this stuff when you have sort of that time. You know, there is a lot of competition for my time right now. And, you know, as you know, right, I've got the Xbox Games Pass and I've got EA Access. And there's a lot of stuff that's getting added to those things that are really compelling, not just the older stuff, but like brand new stuff. You know, and a couple of games just went in the vault. I'm playing NBA 2K regularly right now. I'm heading into the last five or six games of my season. I'm about to start up a FIFA league with some friends of the show. like Cat Bailey and Jeremy Stein, you know, and so that's going to be a thing. Then I, you know, I'll be continue to play, you know, just little bits here and there, but I never really stopped playing Pro Evolution. And there's some other things that I'm playing too, like Assassin's Creed Origins, which is really good. There's a lot competing for my time, and if I have to spend a lot of time just trying to get okay at hitting in the show, that's going to be tough. I'm worried about that.
Yeah, the show and NBA 2K probably more than any others. You have to, it has to be like your life.
Well, I mean,
if you want to be really good.
Yeah, if you want to be really good, but I'm not even talking about being really good. This is different. I can do.
You want to be competent.
I can play, exactly. I can play NBA 2K. I can play offense and I can play defense. I'm not saying I'm great, but I mean, I can functionally play the game. I can very functionally play offense and defense in FIFA. I'm not good at Madden, but I can complete passes. I can hit screens. I can hit guys on slants. I can run the ball well up the middle. I'm competent in on all aspects. Kicking, I can kick, you know, special teams, defense. It's really weird that this one major aspect of a major game, I'm just so bad at. There's no other game where there's just something, nope, I can't complete passes. Just never complete passes. Never, ever, you know, I'm 1 for 25 in passing every game. That's what it feels like hitting in the show. And it's me. I'm not saying it's the game. It's me to a degree.
Well,
but it's going to be challenging. Like, and I don't want to just pitch. I don't want to just pitch. Pitching is fun. I love pitching in the show, but I want to be able to hit too. So anyway, I feel like I talk about this all the time, but it's just, it weighs on me. As you know, the show is coming up. I'm obviously going to buy it, going to get it. But I played a lot more of the show in 2015 and 2016, each of those games. I basically played them for 12 months, right? I played those two games directly into each other. I might have taken – I remember at Christmas time and at New Year's, I was still playing the show both years. And last year, I just stopped a lot earlier. Yeah. And it's so beautiful and great. Like, I love it. I want to love it. I want to love it, Brian.
Yeah, I know. I know. For me, I didn't play as much of the show because of the server issues. But I think what you experience is representative of a lot of people out there. And that's why these developers are constantly trying to find ways to onboard new players and to give people the tools to improve or to make it easier on them in some ways, because it is super difficult. And baseball, you know, naturally is difficult because you're going to fail more than you're going to succeed. And that's, I think that's really where a lot of the problems for people come in, is that it seems to spiral out of control. You get frustrated.
Yes.
And you know, like, and that's why you put it on rookie. And I'll tell you what, like, going back to that, rookie's the worst thing you can do. And because if you don't hit a home run, you get angry, and then you want to know what's wrong with you, and then you just swing at everything on rookie, right? Yeah. What happens, and it doesn't work. That's not how it is. You have to go up to a higher level. It you wouldn't think so, but you have to go up to a higher level where you're forced to be patient.
And I feel like I'm doing the right things. I'm not swinging at every pitch. I almost always take the first pitch, and the first pitch is almost always a strike.
That's the other thing. That's the other thing about those difficulty levels on rookie and stuff. You can't work the counts, really, because the pitchers will throw in the zone almost every time.
And I was so good at that 2 years ago and 3 years ago. I was legit good at it. I won the World Series one of those years, not both years. But, you know, in a season against the CPU on a, you know, somewhat challenging level, I won it. I even live streamed it when it happened. It was really cool. Like, I would work counts and pitch counts. I mean, I obsess about the pitch counts. You know, I'm just watching that number, which is my least favorite. As a side note here, my least favorite / most anxiety inducing thing that has been introduced to baseball broadcasts and video games is the pitch count.
Mm.
All it does is I look at it after every pitch. I'm like, there's another one. Oh, there's another one. Like, I never used to care about pitch counts, you know, 15, 20 years ago, and certainly not when I first started watching baseball. Not a pitch count. But anyway, I would always try to make the pitcher throw at least 15 pitches an inning. Like, that was the battle I have with myself, in addition to just you know, trying to get a hit or a walk or whatever. I'm like, you know, if I would have a 7 or 8 pitch inning, I would be furious with myself. I get how to do all that stuff, and I could not do it last year.
I think it was last year or the year before, one of my most proud achievements in the show, I think it was a Diamond Dynasty game against the CPU, was that I forced the CPU to throw, I think it was 53 pitches in the first inning. And this was not, it was not like I was just rounding the bases over
awesome.
And over and over.
I love
it was
that.
Like, there were 11 and 12 pitch at bats where
that.
I was,
that's great.
That was, you wouldn't think so, but that was like one of my most exciting experiences with the game. I'm like, all right, now I'm going to knock this pitcher
right.
out after 3 or 4 innings.
Now you get to maul that bullpen. That's part of the game. And that's part of what I love about the show. And that's part about when it's working right, it's so beautiful because it mm-hmm. represents everything about baseball. That pitcher-batter duel coupled with the manager, you know, okay, I want to work the count. I want to have a lineup that's not going to get crushed by a left-hander or a right-hander. I want to have balance. Like all of that stuff, the in-game management, when to – it's great. Love it. I'm excited, but again, I'm nervous. Very nervous.
Well, that's what the show is great at. It's great at giving you those moments, and it's really rewarding, but it's also very punishing. and that's tough, you know,
You know, and this is sort of another sort of topic or whatever, but I got to tell you, I've been on the services train, you know, game services, Xbox, Games Pass, EA Access for a while, as everybody knows, but it really is transforming how I think about playing and buying video games.
Hmm.
I'm going to buy the show. But there's a lot less games that I'm going to buy this year, Brian. A lot less games.
Yeah.
Because now, especially now that Microsoft is giving you all of their first-party stuff, Forza, Horizon, Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, they've only got a few, but yeah.
Right, but I mean, even that. Like, I hear, you know, I listen to the Player One podcast. You guys know it's my favorite show, right? And CJ and Greg have been playing Sea of Thieves in the betas and alphas and stuff and talking about it. Like, I'm now definitely going to check that out. There's no doubt that I'm gonna play that. It's really cool that it's coming. I would not have done it. Forza Horizon, getting that day one.
Yeah,
you know,
Crackdown.
I'm not gonna buy. And now you got Madden in the vault. FIFA's coming in the vault real soon. And as I mentioned, I'm gonna be in a league with some friends of the show. That this whole services thing is really affecting me in a positive way. But I'm definitely spending less money, much less money this year. I'm still spending money, right? You're talking probably, what's that, 15 or 20 bucks a month I'm spending, you know, between the two services. But relatively speaking to what I would have spent and did spend the last 2, 3, 4 years, it's not even close, I'm sure. I mean, I know there are months where I would have spent $100, $120 in new games more than once, and I'll never spend more than, I think, 60 bucks in a month. I love it, but it's really changing the way that I view buying games. For sure.
Yeah. And you're still in the minority. I mean, these things are still in their infancy, there are people that make up for you not buying those games, Rich. It's the people who spend the hundreds and thousands of dollars
and
on modes like Ultimate Team or whatever.
It's interesting how it's impacting me. I'm not because I wouldn't have thought it would have done this, but I'm looking at the services that I have and the games that I have and what I'm playing and just – you know, I'm playing NBA 2K now. Remember when it came out, Brian? I didn't play it for, what, the first 6 weeks? 8 weeks, maybe? Mm. It just wasn't on my radar. And now it's the game that I'm playing. It's just interesting, and I really enjoy it. But I wonder, you know, as these things evolve, like, the Microsoft first-party stuff, to me, that's a big deal. That is a really big deal. And if that continues to expand, as we're hoping, like, with EA Access, just not having to be 10 hours, it's just you get the game. It's really going to keep on changing things. I mean, I can't – if you have an Xbox and you don't have the Games Pass, I don't understand that. Like, why wouldn't you just do that, right?
Yeah. If you don't have time to play them.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
But it makes easier just to check a game out here, check a game out there. I found a few little golden nuggets that I never would have played. I've had a lot of fun. And I've played a few games and played them for 20 minutes. Like, nope, I'm going to move on to the other thing. But I've never been able to do that before. It's such an interesting way to experience games.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, where it's the new Forza Horizon this year and Crackdown eventually, who knows when that's going to actually get there, but that alone basically covers, you know, the cost of subscribing. And it makes it worth it, and then you got everything else in there. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, and EA Access, we always talk about, is one of the best values in gaming, and yeah, that's great on the Xbox. It's great on the Xbox side for people who only have PlayStation.
Go get an Xbox. That's what I say. Look, yeah. I have them all. I love them all. The Switch, the Xbox One, and I'm going to get an Xbox One X as well. I'm going to do it, right? I'm going to take advantage of my 4K TV now. Mm-hmm. And going to, you know, put it on a Best Buy year, same as cash. So it's not going to, like, I got to outlay a whole lot of money. I'll pay it off over the 12 months, and it'll be like I paid cash for it. And I'm excited about that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And by the way, speaking of it, a game that is on the Xbox One Games Pass is that lacrosse game, the Casey Powell lacrosse game.
Yeah. Have you played it yet?
No, I haven't, but I have downloaded it. I've downloaded it. That's another
Yeah, you downloaded it months ago or something. I remember that.
Right. You know what I'm playing right now? I am playing Assassin's Creed Origins, which is great, by the way. Did you try that?
No, you know, it's just not really my type of game.
I'm not an Assassin's Creed fan.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed Origins is great. Egypt is really amazing. This world that they've created that you get to really move around in meaningful ways and see very interesting things. I don't like Assassin's Creed games. I really like this game. Mm. Yes, it's Assassin's Creed, which means you got to kill people. But it's not, for whatever reason, it's still violent and gory. It's not as... I got problems with the game, but it's not as bad, I guess, in that way as previous Assassin's Creed games. But it's still very, very violent. Very, very nasty.
Is that on Game Pass? Is that where you brought that up?
No? I was actually at a GameStop, and it was on sale for $30, and this is probably about a month or month and a half ago. I was like, I've heard really good things about it, $30, so I did it. That's the only game that I probably bought in the last 2 or 3 months, but I'm playing that. That's really, you know, really, really good. I'm playing FIFA, as I mentioned. We're starting our league, so I'm going to be getting into that. NBA 2K, I'm playing a ton of that. I'm still playing Pro Evo. Like, these are all games that I'm playing. Casey Powell isn't there for me yet, but I have downloaded it. I am going to try it, but there's a new one coming out, and I know that you're excited about that.
Yeah, it actually, the other cool thing about it is it comes out on my birthday just by chance.
Look
yeah.
at that.
Yeah.
Look at that.
So, yeah, Casey Powell Lacrosse 18 was announced the day here as we record it, which comes as I look back on my review for Casey Powell Lacrosse 16, released March 9th of 2016. So basically 2 years. Almost on the dot. I really liked Casey Powell Lacrosse 16, and we haven't talked a lot about it. We've mentioned it going back then. I mentioned it. It was kind of a sleeper game that year. It was a game that I was pleasantly surprised by. What did I give it? I gave it a 4 out of 5. It was really good for a first effort at a game. I mean, this was the very first attempt. And it didn't have licensing, and the new one's not going to have licensing, but it did have creator suites for the teams and everything. So you could share those as well. That's kind of a staple for Big Ant, which is the publisher. But what I really liked about it was I didn't know a whole lot about lacrosse. I mean, I've seen some on TV. I didn't really understand the rules. I didn't really know whether I'd be able to grasp it. Like, if you pick up, Rich, if you go and you pick up a rugby or a cricket game, do you think you could play it?
I have played both. I have played a decent amount of a rugby game 4, 5, 6 years ago that I did a review for, and I had to consult with our friend Dr. Ken about it. I've known Dr. Ken for a long time. But I did play that for a good amount of time. I dabbled in one of the Bradman cricket games, probably on a dare from TJ, because I don't know why else I would have done it. Sure, I had something with him. So short answer is I could probably muddle through rugby, but I don't think I could figure out cricket.
Yeah. So that's what surprised me about Casey Powell Lacrosse is I didn't know everything, but it was still easy to pick up and play. So the let's see, the game was basically described, the vision for it was having the player movement and passing of basketball, or I'd say actually it was kind of more like an NHL as far as passing goes. And it says with the stick control shooting and hitting of hockey also. And it did. It was kind of a mesh. It felt familiar almost immediately, the way you were moving and the way you were attempting to create scoring opportunities felt really good. And then you got to lay out some hits on people, kind of like checking in hockey. The other thing about that surprised me is they didn't have a tutorial. And we've seen games that have basically been sunk by not having a tutorial, especially games that people aren't familiar with. Mm. But I found the controls to be really easy, actually, to grasp. I'm looking back on my review because it's been a couple of years. But
right.
I felt that there were two rules in lacrosse, which I struggled with initially because I didn't understand. One was offsides, and they only explained that in a loading screen. And so once I think I eventually figured out why offsides was getting called.
Is it like soccer where you just sort of, it can be anywhere if there's somebody who's well ahead of the pack, or is there like a visible or an invisible line in it on it?
That's a good question. I'm unable to visualize
lacrosse
that
fans
at the moment.
Tweet at yeah. us. Tell us
yeah.
what it is.
I remember I figured it out. But I, as I said before, my memory, apparently I learn one thing, it pushes the other thing out. I think that's like a Simpsons, Homer Simpson type thing, where you, one thing goes in and you see, literally see the other come out,
yes.
the other side.
Yes.
And then the other was offensive players entering the goalie crease. And I think I was getting called for that, but the game wasn't giving you an explanation. The ref just popped up, made a signal, and then play resumed, but with the opposition having possession. So those were the only things that I really struggled with. Otherwise, I mean, I started playing and I was like, okay, this makes total sense. I know what I'm doing. I know how to move around. I know how to create. And then there were cool ways to try and get beyond that, like taking jump shots and stuff. And then I figured out, I didn't even know this, that you get more points for scoring from farther out. Again, another thing, it's almost like basketball. So it's really just like a surprisingly well put together game. Now, feature wise, I remember it's franchise type mode, it's single player career type modes. So you were a little lacking, but what I really liked about the game was the gameplay.
Nice.
And it was $50 initially, so it wasn't a fully full price. It was close, but not
right.
a completely full price game. And let's see. And visually it was pretty nice. According to the press release for the new one, they call that game really successful. I mean, I didn't have any idea, because lacrosse is very much, for me, I'm on the West Coast. Lacrosse is more of an East Coast.
Yeah, it's very yeah. regional. It's, in fact, it's regional significant. Like it's from, well, it's big in like Maryland, Virginia. That's
yeah.
where it's biggest. And then there's some, New
I know, like,
York State yeah. stuff. But yeah, it's extremely regional.
So yeah, they had filler teams in for. There's a professional league, and then they also had, I think, fillers in for college teams. So, and basically the new one is going to be, again, it's going to be unlicensed. Let's see. It's
What were they licensed? I guess MLL, that a thing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But yeah, they don't have that. But you can create them and share them. And let's see. But yeah, they had the filler teams in basically representing them. So you could get a sense of who was who. Let's see. Yeah, it's going to have player and team creators. Basic improvements. I don't really know a whole lot about the features yet, but I'm going to contact them and see if I can get some more info on it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this because it's, along with Super Mega Baseball, it gives us two really...
Yes,
I think high quality, independent developers delivering games that are just excellent games, lacking licensing, but that they kind of are able to overcome that just by being so solid and so creative. And in the case of Casey Powell Lacrosse, it was probably not a total sim, but close enough. You know, it respects the sport. And I think, and that's kind of the angle Super Mega Baseball goes to.
Oh yeah, yeah. So, it's funny. I haven't played Super Mega Baseball in a while, and you were talking about it last week and the ego system. And again, that just brought back a lot. Oh wow, yeah, that's right. You know, because it's been a while, and that's on the Xbox Games Pass. Games Pass too. That is another really good one. I'm really looking forward to Super Mega Baseball too. That
man. That was atop some of our lists for the most anticipated games this year. I mean, it remains that way, and we don't know an official release date. They continue to say spring.
Good. Let them get it ready.
It's already been delayed once. It was originally going to release last September, if you remember, and we all thought that was crazy.
Well, I don't know that we thought it was. I don't know that I. Well, yeah.
Well, we thought it was crazy because it was going to get swallowed up by everything else releasing.
Well, I mean, the first one released in like December or November, December. Right? Yeah. So, you know, it release dates aren't always controlled by the people who have the best way to put a game out there in the world. We'll just leave it at that. So I'm glad that they got the extra time, and hopefully it's spring. But if it's summer, that's cool too. You know, like I have no problem with it coming out in the summer if they need a little bit more time. But I'm definitely, whenever it comes out, I'm day one. I can't wait to see it.
Did you know that they're going to have a beta?
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't know the dates on that either, but supposedly there will be a beta before release. Well, so hopefully that's, you know, like March or something, you know, and we'll see.
Is that for online play? Because they didn't have online play last time, right?
There was no online play in the first. There will be.
Right.
Yeah. They have not said, as far as I'm aware, what the beta will entail.
Right.
Just that there will be one.
Good. That's great. Everybody should get what they need out of it. Those guys will see how it performs and what the data tells them, and fans will be able to check it out early. I assume the signups have already happened. Well, no, if they haven't.
No, nothing yet. No.
Good.
Their Twitter is starting to get a little active. There's a GIF of a player getting a hit, and there's a new screenshot last week, which was of the original ballparks are back, but they've been upgraded. And let's see, more realistic proportions, a better lighting model. And they posted a screenshot. Looks really nice.
Cool.
I'm really excited for that one. I mean, we're talking about the show every week, and hopefully Super Mega Baseball will be around the same time or shortly after.
And, I'll just, not to be too self-promotional, but I will say we are – wow, is there a lot of stuff that we're working on right now for Out of the Park, some real exciting stuff. And I got a world exclusive for you. Mr. Brian Weedye, you ready for this world exclusive?
I'm ready, Rich.
So it's not a world exclusive that I'm hosting a panel at this year's PAX East,
right?
Which is called So You Want to Market an Indie Game on Sunday, April 8th at noon at the Arachnid Theater, along with friends, multiple friends from multiple places. We'll have a lot more info on that. But world exclusive, Brian, Friday night, there is an Out of the Park / Franchise Hockey Manager, / Press Row Podcast meetup happening at the Beer Works Fenway, right across the street from Fenway Park, where...
Friday night, what's the date?
That is the 6th. Friday, April 6th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yep. So you'll have the game will be out and everything.
The game will be out. We're going to have a big meetup with drinks and food and a lot of fun. And there are limited spaces. I'll just say that. There's going to be all sorts of details. But if you're interested, you're going to be at PAX East or you're just in Boston and you're interested in a meetup, you know where to find the guys on Twitter and Facebook. So we're very excited about that, Brian. And you, sir, are invited.
That's in Boston, right?
It is in Boston, but you are absolutely invited.
You're inviting me because you know I will not be there. I will not be attending.
That is true.
You're like, just give him an invite. There's no way he's coming to the East Coast.
He's flying across the country on his own dime to go to PAX East. Never going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I choose not to go to PAX Seattle.
And it's in your backyard.
Yeah. So that's very cool. When the time comes closer, we'll definitely
send out. I'm just excited that we can do this. This is the first one we've ever done. TJ's going to be there. Chris Snagglejay is going to be there. I'm going to be there. It's a real thing. We're going to have a great time. We're very excited. And we just hope that everybody that wants to go gets to go. And we'll have all the details soon. But if you're at all interested, mark that day on your calendars and we'll let you know how to hook up with us.
All right, Rich. Another thing I want to talk about.
Yes.
You getting interested at all in the esports stuff that's going on? Because there's a lot happening right now.
I'm following it. Well, let me say I'm aware and I'm following it in that I'm following the headlines on Operation Sports, because they kind of have the headlines. Like, and when I say following the headlines on Operation Sports, I mean it's mostly the NBA 2K League, which hasn't started yet. So from what
the easiest one to cover.
From what I understand, there's a league and it's sponsored by some teams and it's going to start soon, but there's not a whole lot of understanding of how it's set up and how long it's going to last and that. Do I have that right?
I can explain some of that.
Okay.
So they are, like, right now, they just finished basically what was their combine.
Right.
Was for the month of, or a good portion of the month of February. Players that had initially qualified in January got to be a part of this combine where they had to play a certain number of games, track their stats and all, and their record and all of that. And so all this data ends up going to the general managers for each one of the teams. There's 17 NBA teams that have their own NBA 2K league squad. And each one has a general manager and they will be drafting. The draft, I believe, takes place in March. And I don't know how they're going to determine who the best players are. It's just going to be a mess of data, a mess of stats that people padded in the process or were penalized because they were randomly on teams with players who maybe didn't pass the ball or clogged the paint or whatever. And I've already seen complaints about that, that kind of thing. Just luck of the draw, basically. It's going to be a mess of numbers. I don't know how they're really going to determine who the – I think it's like 106 players end up getting drafted, six players for each team. And they had 70-some thousand participate in this combine, Rich. How do you go from 70,000 to 106 without – it's not like real life where you got – or not real life. It's not like professional sports where you're scouting players for years and you've got a team of scouts across the country watching games. This was in a very condensed period of time. You're looking off mostly data. You can't watch everything.
It's going to be all data. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all you can do is look at the data. There's no other way to do it. It's got to be completely quantitative in every way.
So, and then the people who get drafted, so they're under contract something like six months. They get 35, somewhere in the mid 30,000s as their salary. And they also get put up in an apartment or whatever housing they have for them because they actually moved to their cities for this. And so 30 some thousand sounds pretty good. But I think it almost eliminates people who have families and people
who are committed. You can't be in esports unless, A, you're young. And when I say young, I mean between, 17 and 21? And, B, that's all that you do. There's no
– you can't leave your job. You can't leave your mortgage behind to do this, right? So it's a – the money sounds good, but you can't drop – a lot of people can't drop their lives to leave and move somewhere for 6 months, especially because you're not guaranteed anything after that 6 months. I mean, if you let's say you left your job, sold your house to go do this, in 6 months you might be back in a really bad position where you have nowhere to live.
Right.
So it's tough.
It's for someone who is 18 or 19, and you know what? I've got the time, and you know, and life is very different. There are no long-term commitments. There are no mortgages. There are no leases. There's just the ability, you know what, for the next 6 months, I can go live somewhere and do this thing. But you have to be, I mean, to be successful in esports, you have to be very young. You know, you're done by the time you're 21, 22, 23, right? I mean, just look at any of these competitions that you see live. These are kids, 18, 19, 20. Oh, my gosh. Which is fine. But, like, the skills that you need to compete at that level, you know, there's nobody that would be 25 or 30 with a job and a mortgage that would even dream of being able to do that stuff. It's impossible.
So you're following kind of some of the developments, and I think that's kind of where I'm at. There's nothing compelling yet from a viewership standpoint. I mean, it's all conceptual. Hey, we're going to have these teams. The NBA teams are backing them. Sounds cool. Has a lot of potential. But from an outsider point of view right now, there's nothing happening. I mean, it's not, there's nothing compelling right now because it's only, right. The only thing that matters right now is for the people who are involved. So and that'll change.
Are they going to run in the summer? Is that like, so
yeah,
basketball is not happening. The esports league will be happening, sort of kind of keep the brand all in more in the headlines all year long. That's smart.
Yeah. I think they start in June, something like that. Oh, so yeah, it's
really smart.
Yeah, May, June, something around there. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be reason for rooting interest in that. And so there's still the potential there. We've also got the EMLS, Rich.
I don't know about this. I saw you mention it, but I know nothing about it. What is it?
So it's kind of similar to the way NBA is doing it with attaching people to teams. So let me pull up the information. I've got it here somewhere. I know they're involved with obviously the MLS. So they're partnering with FIFA. And let's see, 19 MLS clubs. So they recruit one representative. Unlike NBA 2K, which is going to have teams of six. This is just, and this is similar to what NHL, I believe, is going to be doing, and Madden has done to an extent with some of their tournaments, which is you're going to have one person attached to each team, and then they're going to compete.
I meant to ask you, is the NBA Esports League five versus five, versus five individuals, so they have to work together as a team?
Yes, absolutely, and that's why
it's fascinating. That's very different. I like that.
And that's, I think that makes it easier from a viewership standpoint to root, because I go back to, I have no reason to root for these people that play Madden or FIFA or NBA.
Or Overwatch or League of Legends. Right. No, I have no affiliation.
Like, people watch for the teams, right? So in most cases, so the idea of if I'm already a Detroit Pistons fan, I'm probably going to root for this team that represents the Detroit Pistons. You know, it's totally different. And then you have the dynamic of watching not just, all right, here in Madden, let's see this guy run the same three plays all game versus, no, you're going to have to strategize and work with teammates and communicate. And that can actually be fascinating to watch how people communicate. It's like, you know, like if you watch inside the huddle of NBA games, timeouts, and you see them strategizing and drawing up plays and talking about adjustments. That kind of stuff is going to happen here in the NBA 2K, at least. Now, I think we'll eventually get there with the other games. Mutt squads being introduced into Madden is kind of maybe you end up getting a Mutt squads type esport where you have, again, people playing on the same team. And I think that could happen also in FIFA, which has always had its online team play with up to 11 versus 11. It's just difficult to organize and maintain, right? That many people. So, like, I don't know what NBA 2K is doing as far as they're going to have six people per team. I don't know if that means somebody's coming off the bench or somebody takes a seat and doesn't play. So they're just kind of left out. One person is left out every game. That's unclear at this point. There's still a lot of stuff to learn. There really is. There's still a lot of stuff.
You know, let's face it. They're and I don't mean this in a bad way at all. They're figuring it out as they go along because there's not a blueprint for it. So I get it. It makes sense. And I give them a lot of credit for doing this. It's not easy. And I believe our good friend Scott O'Gallagher is I know he's a big part of that. And I think he does the. Some of the coverage that they do, the streaming coverage as an announcer. So like I'm rooting for them, but it's got to be interesting creating this stuff, and it's going to be fascinating from my perspective to watch how this goes, because again, as we talk about on this show all the time, these games continue to evolve. The services, esports, Ultimate Team, franchise, stories, it keeps on evolving and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And esports wasn't a thing 5 years ago in the world of these sports games. And now it's not a big thing compared to the big boys, but it's certainly a thing. And where this goes over the next 2 or 3 years is going to be really interesting to see. I mean, I have a feeling it's going to be a lot like Ultimate Team in that there's going to be that crowd that is into the esports. Mm-hmm. And I'll continue being old man franchise guy, which I'm perfectly fine with. And I don't think they will abandon that because it's still a big part of the, traditional $60 boxed, sports game. But I love seeing this all happen. And I give them credit for trying to figure it out because it's not easy. And whenever you've got money and people involved, man, you got to be really careful. You got to really know what you're doing. And so, you got to take it slow, not go crazy, and figure it out. So I'm watching it very, very interested.
Speaking of money and sales, let's talk finally, Rich, about
NPD. The latest sales.
Yeah, the latest.
Love it.
Calm down, Rich. I know you love money. it's the latest. Geez. The latest sales results, the latest revenue results. So I did not dig into this too much. I glanced, and I've got some thoughts on some of my quick observations. But tell me what you see out of the latest NPD data.
Well, number one, it's spectacular. Everybody's doing great. We should all be happy about that. This was the best January in many, many years. What's interesting to me is, and I'm just, reading numbers, is that the for software is $517 million in January, right? This is not December. This is January, which was up 51% from a year ago, which is a lot. By the way, I'm reading the thread in Reset Era, so want to make sure I mention that. But what's interesting is that's not the most ever. It's the most since January 2011. I'm like, huh? You would think with like inflation and things like that, $517 million, which was up 51% from last year, you would think would be the most ever. But it's the most in a long time. And in hardware, the Switch, the PlayStation 4, and the Xbox all did great. So we should all be very happy. I think this is clearly the sign of a healthy industry and all the things that we're talking about, the more powerful versions of these machines and the services that continue to drive revenue. And the just the games passes and the EA accesses and the evolving games. I think Rainbow Six, didn't they announce the other day that they're never making a sequel? just this game is the game forever. Like, just no matter, it seems like there's just a lot of people that are doing a lot of different things the right way. Another thing doesn't have anything to do with sports, but very, very Japanese games were very, very successful, right? Plus, you've got sports games. If you look at in January, NBA 2K and Madden were both in the top 10. And for the past 12 months, NBA 2K is number 2. Madden's number 4, right? So they do well. So the Japanese games, sports games, two very different things. Live service games, Grand Theft Auto is still up there. PlayerUnknown's Battleground. I mean, it's just really fascinating, and it's great that from a software standpoint, there's a lot of different kinds of things that are doing well, and from a hardware standpoint, everybody's doing well. It's just that makes me happy because it just means that we're going to keep getting more stuff, right? We might get some more interesting challenges being accepted, right, when you're making that kind of money. And you'll get some experimental stuff and more opportunities for indie games to do things, like all these things that we're seeing. And with the addition of these services, you know, maybe people like me will do more than just download the lacrosse game. They'll actually play it. And I'm like, wow, this is a lot of fun. Or the F1 games, you know, that we've been talking about. It just, it's really, really, really positive time for sales. And that should be welcomed by everybody, right? Even if you're, you know, even if you don't like sales and talking about money and stuff, the fact is, no matter what, this stuff drives the business. You have to be successful to have the art in this world. And so everybody, I think, should be happy. I certainly am. And the fact that sports games continue to be a big part of that also makes me really, really happy, because that just means we're going to keep getting good games, Brian. Mm. That's the, to me, the net of it. You know, when you're not doing, I mean, Pro Evo, it's keeping on going, right? That's mm-hmm. great. You know, you've got the indie games that you were talking about, Super Mega Baseball and the new lacrosse game. Like, it's a nice sort of domino effect that it has. And it's a bit of a lagging effect too, right? So we'll see some benefits from this, you know, over the next 9 to 18 months. It's not just, you know, it's almost like we haven't even seen the best part of all of this money being made.
So a couple of things to stand out to me. I know Madden NFL 18 finished number 10 in January. These are based on total revenue numbers, because we know based on the PlayStation charts, Madden was one of the top sellers of the month in terms of moving, you know, copies digitally, at least. But pretty much the whole month, Madden was selling for only $20. So that's why it would be lower on the list here. It may have beat NBA 2K18 in total sales for the month, but 2K18 was selling at a much higher price.
Yeah,
so
yeah, 2K is crushing it. I mean, 2K18, yeah. Wow.
And
wow.
It will.
Wow. It'll keep on going.
Through June, yeah. So
it's going to keep on going. Amazing. Amazing.
The other... kind of scary thing, and I've talked about my belief that UFC may be coming to the end of the road, is that UFC 3 finished number 13, and it released here at the end of January. Now, the MPD period went through February 3rd. For January, Rich, which I blew your mind with.
I don't
prior
understand
to the show.
That. Matt Piscatella, I know you listen. What? Why isn't it just January 1st to January 31st? I don't understand. Explain yourself, sir.
It's always like that. There's always some overlap. So UFC 3 at 13 is interesting because, look, like, yeah, it only had a few days. But with all of these games, especially sports games, they're going to be heavily front-loaded. Pre-orders are going to be like half of their lifetime sales. So UFC 3 finishing at 13 is concerning, pretty concerning. I went back and looked, and this goes, you know, going all the way back to the first UFC game from THQ, which was, 2009, something like that. That one exploded, and then every release since of a UFC game has dropped. It's gone down with every subsequent release.
Well,
and we've seen the popularity of the UFC also tailing off.
Is that true?
Over the years. So it's not a surprise necessarily see it drop down, but I looked at March 2016 MPD for UFC 2 from EA. That one finished, and of course, it's all relative again. That just because it drops a spot or whatever doesn't mean it sold less. It may have sold more, but the games in front of it sold more. But UFC 2 that month finished fifth. I mean, 8 spots higher, Rich.
Yeah.
That is, like, that doesn't tell us the sales numbers, but it does tell us the trend.
Well, I mean, what it tells me is that it's not the right game to have a multi... release. It almost feels like it's a outdated mode, similar to PGA Tour golf, right? Like, there's no reason, you know, back when there used to be, or not no reason, that's not true, but back when when there used to be a PGA Tour golf game every single year, we used to say, this is weird. There's really no reason to have this every single year, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's it's very much the same thing with UFC, and it reminds me a lot of the boxing games, right? There used to be boxing right. games every year, and then it was every two or three years, and then they just stopped because barring significant leaps forward in technology, which considering how good the technology is right now, it's very difficult to create a compelling reason to buy something. Again, especially when you're competing with so much. Now, on the other hand, there's not really, you know, any other game like it. They have the market cornered on these kind of games. But it almost feels like it should be somehow a live service game, right? Like a monthly subscription game, right, where it just continues to evolve as opposed to a every couple of years annual kind of release. Well, again, I'm not a UFC yeah. fan, right, so I'm not the – I don't have the right sort of qualifications. But, again, just – it feels to me like what I just said. That's sort of where I see this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, I had very little interest in this one, and I was a big fan of the UFC games before it. It just didn't really seem to have the juice this time around. And like Dylan, who's been on the show a couple times, a big, huge UFC fan, way bigger than me, watches pretty much every pay-per-view, watches on whatever, you know, cable channel that they broadcast on too, didn't even buy it. I'm like, so that's alarming too, you know, that it's losing maybe the biggest UFC fans. But we always go back, Rich, to what sells a licensed sports game more than anything? Updated rosters. And when your rosters barely right. change.
Right. Just like golfers didn't yeah. change. Right. Yeah. And just right. like the boxers didn't mm-hmm. change. Exactly right. It's
so
right.
It makes it super difficult to yep. try and sell those games on a regular basis. And actually kind of interesting here. I guarantee you it will be different this year. Back when UFC 2 released, it released the same month as MLB The Show 16, and it outsold MLB The Show 16. MLB The Show, I'm fairly certain, will outsell UFC 2 here in North America. UFC has more reach across the world. I wouldn't be surprised if UFC across the world outsells the show here, because the show really only sells in North America. So, but they're just kind of interesting how fortunes have kind of turned for those two series and then probably flip-flop places. So, so that's the MPD, Rich. It was nice catching up with you, Rich. I missed you last week. I'm going to have to stop myself from suspending you from here on out.
Well, sometimes I deserve it, Brian. You got to stand up for what's right. And you did what you had to do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you've suspended me, and I was just I hold a grudge, Rich.
You know what you did. That's all yeah. I'm going to say.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's that. Thank you, Rich Grisham. Thank you, everyone out there that listened all the way through, and those of you who didn't, I still want you to know. Thank you. Yes. We will be back next week with another episode of the Press Row Podcast. I don't know what it'll be about. There will probably be baseball. It's that time of year, spring training.
Plenty to talk about.
Yeah, there's always going to be a lot to talk about, and we'll see what else we come up with. Until then, everybody, take care.